This is Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on your flagship station of the Jacksonville Jaguars. News Talk Radio WOKV. To join Brian Sexton, Jeff Lagerman, and Vic Ketchman, dial 355-NFL-1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, dial 1-800-355-NFL-1. Jaguars This Week is brought to you in part by Prudential Network Realty, Ticket Exchange, and by the Jacksonville Transportation Group. Now, here's the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton.
All right, so this movie's going to be this show's going to be about the entire movie Slapshot this evening, ladies and gentlemen, as we try to just absolutely forget what happened last Sunday and look forward to this Sunday against the St. Louis Rams. We've been watching Slapshot clips on YouTube for hours on end.
Trying to laugh.
What have you to say? I'm trying to listen to the song.
Yeah.
One of the great all-time movies, sports movies.
Oh, for sure.
Maybe I think top five for sure.
Yeah.
The best hockey movie.
Okay, give me your top five.
Wow, jeez.
Okay, I'll give you mine.
North Dallas 40.
I'm sorry. The Natural.
Yes. Yeah.
Slapshot.
Yep.
Does Caddyshack count?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Caddyshack.
You know what I like better than Caddyshack? Caddyshack was great. Tin Cup.
Yeah, Tin Cup
was very good.
I thought it was
very,
great
very
movie.
Good. Let's see what else.
Breaking Away.
I have to think about
what's
it.
What's the Burt Reynolds movie in when he's in
the
prison?
Longest Yard.
That's it. Yeah, there you go.
Got to have that one in there.
Yeah.
I think
really
I broke
good.
His freaking neck.
That's really good.
What a great line.
All right.
Oh, Hoosiers.
Yeah, Gene Hackman's movie.
Really good. Really, really good.
Well, and Rudy was a pretty good movie.
Not bad.
Yeah. It was like Hoosiers.
That's Notre Dame, though.
I knew you were going there.
Here's a great line. Remember,
you know what? It's amazing just to let people know. I have nothing against Notre Dame, but I have a couple friends that are Golden Domers, and one of them's here in this building, and the other one works out at the gym that I do. And I say that just to get them riled up.
Because you know you can.
Is Mike Pursuta still doing work for us in pregame?
Yes, he is.
Okay. So the people who watch the show or listen to the show might know the name Mike Pursuta. He's a newspaper guy. And what's he do for us?
He does an around the
NFL
league.
Kind of thing.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. He
contributes he is a giant, giant Michigan State grad and a giant Michigan State fan. And I can remember when the movie Rudy came out and we were in a conference room waiting for a press conference, and someone was saying, yeah, it's a pretty good movie. And Pursuta, of course, being this Michigan State fan, had this inbred hate for Notre Dame. And he said, why? Did he die in the end?
Sometimes those things don't die, do they? 355-NFL-1, 355-6351. Why do I have the sense that we could open the phone lines tonight and just let it
roll? I'm going to warn you. Ask Vic has been a horribly angry place.
That's all right.
I mean, if they...
That's the great thing about sport is that it evokes emotion.
You can see
it's
lit up already, and they have come here. They have come here to hurt us. They have not come here to praise Caesar. They have come here to kill Caesar.
I was telling Jack last night on his show that I went to Starbucks on Monday morning, and I had three different people pecking at me about the game. And finally, I turned around and I said, all right, would everybody please, who cares to hear, listen so I only have to say this once.
Whew.
That had never happened before.
At some point during tonight's show, I got to tell people the story that I told Jeff, the message I got from my wife when I got back in the office in the wee hours, middle of the night, Sunday morning.
Well, why don't you do it right now
since Monday
people want to hear it anyway.
Okay. She was about to go to bed. She has to get up 5:30 in the morning. She's a special ed teacher, so she just has tremendous work ahead of her, and she goes to bed as early as she can. And she happened to be walking past. She went to the TV to turn it off when she saw that it was a newscast. And you know how they do down the right side? They do those tags.
Yep.
Well, the station she was watching down the right side on the tags, one of the tags said, Jaguars crash. Jaguars crash.
So
referring
she's
Quentin
thinking,
Groves.
Yeah, but
she doesn't
thinking,
know that.
She's thinking Marshall.
She's thinking, yeah, exactly. She's thinking plane crash. And so she's going to sit down, of course, and wait
to see the news,
to see what they say about this. And it doesn't come on for a long time. So she sits there, and finally they get to it, and they tell the story about the car accident. Oh, now she's hot. Oh, she's looking up the station's phone number, and then she calls the station. I want to talk to the station manager. She's furious. And when I get back, there's a message on there, and that radio TV station, she's going on and on, and she is hot. She gets all done, and I said, it must have been terribly disappointing for you. Kept you up all night, didn't it? That's not funny.
Let's get a couple movie comments here. I mean, you know, keep it fresh for the first segment, and then we'll get into the nuts and bolts.
Real quick, since you mentioned Marshall, I never saw We Are Marshall.
It's good.
Good movie.
It's real good, yeah.
Good movie.
Here we go. 355-NFL-1 for the phone line.
But not in the top five.
Okay. I've got to see it before I would put it up there anyway.
No, not top five.
Here's Sean on the north side. Hello, Sean.
I just can't believe that you've been this long talking about sports movies and Major League hasn't come up.
No question. Major League, no question.
Are the Jags really looking at this like, you know, they look at game tape and they're just like, all right, let's just forget what happened?
No, you can't do that simply because you got to learn, you know, and there were some, you know, and here's the amazing part. From watching the tape, you know, I thought that they were playing pretty doggone good. And then they had two moments in that game that led to things kind of breaking down. Those breakdowns, you got to get fixed. You can't let them happen again.
What were they?
Well, I mean, on defense, it was Rasheen Mathis. Mistakes that you don't expect from a guy who's been to a Pro Bowl.
Right. And who was playing at a Pro Bowl level the first month.
And you can't have him do that. I think he tried to play out of his role a little bit too much. And when you do that, you can get caught, you can get burnt, and he got exactly what really was coming. And to me, you can't have a veteran guy play like that, you know. I mean, he's got to be dependable, especially because you have a youthful secondary that's watching every move that he makes. He's the Pro Bowler in the room. So you have to address it. You have to fix it. Offensively, they got to get better up front. You know, got to get better up front.
How are Britton and Monroe?
Eugene struggled a little bit coming back from his knee injury. Eugene one series he gave up one sack. The rookie running back Rashad Jennings gave up a sack to Aaron Curry. These young guys got to pick it up. You know, when you got a role, you got to fill that role and fill it well.
How about Britton coming? It was Britton coming back from the knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
Monroe, who had been sick. And right. Did you say Britton struggled as well?
Britton struggled a little bit. It wasn't bad. I thought he played okay overall. But Eugene in his one series, he gave up a sack.
Okay.
You know, and you just
are you surprised?
Can't do that.
I mean, maybe it was because he was sick. But when we saw him go in early in the preseason, he was really strong.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that strong guy since then?
Well, think of when we saw him.
It was against Miami. It was a long time ago.
At what point in the game?
Yeah, okay.
You know, so, I mean, he still has a lot to prove to, I think, his teammates. I think he's got a lot to prove to the team and to the fans.
355-NFL-1. By the way, you know, this year the Jaguars are traveling on a smaller plane, you know, cost-cutting measures like everyone else, to some of the games. Have you not thought as we go around the corner to get onto the plane sometimes about Major League? You remember in the movie where there's this jet and the team thinks they're getting on the jet?
Your plane.
Right.
That's your plane. How many times have I said that?
I've said it a couple of times.
All right. I am now going to tell you, give you my top 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. My 10 favorite sports movies.
Okay. Ready?
Raging Bull.
Robert De Niro. About the boxer.
Requiem for a Heavyweight.
Never seen that one.
Jackie Gleason. And the big guy. The big guy, which is...
Don't know.
Turn your microphone on.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Keep going.
Angels in the Outfield. Wonderful old movie.
Oh, I thought you were about the Disney movie.
No. The first one.
Okay. He was the guy with Zorba the Greek.
Zorba the Greek, that's right.
Why am I
Carry on. We'll figure it out.
Anthony Quinn.
Slapshot, we talked about.
Great movie.
The Natural, we... Talked a little bit about
loved
that.
It.
Major League, of course.
Now, Major League.
With Charlie Sheen. Oh,
Tom Berenger.
Yeah.
Rene Russo.
Okay. And, well, how about the Kevin Costner movie where he was in baseball?
Field of Dreams. That's in here.
No, no, no.
The
other
one. That was one. The other one was
Bull Durham. Lelouch.
Bull Durham.
Yeah. That would be number 11. I'm not. I was never crazy about that because I thought. I just didn't think it was. I thought it was a little too cartoonish. But anyhow. Yeah, it was real good. I said, Natural, Major League, Field of Dreams. That's the other Kevin Costner.
He's been in a lot of them.
Mm-hmm. Hoosiers, loved it. Mm. And here's two, one recent and one old. Cinderella Man.
Fantastic.
Didn't see
it. Oh, it's
fabulous.
That Clint Eastwood, right?
No,
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe, okay. Fabulous.
He plays a boxer who's down and out.
And here's one, a Robert De Niro movie. I'll bet you've never seen it, and I love it. Bang the Drum Slowly.
Okay. Never saw it.
Yeah. I've heard of it, though. What's it about?
A major league catcher who has been diagnosed with cancer, and the movie is about him dying and his roommate, who's his pitcher, you know, the 60 feet, 6 inches thing, you know.
Right.
Bury us 60 feet, 6 inches apart. And I forget his name, Michael Moriarty.
Okay.
Is the pitcher and roommate and best friend of Robert De Niro, who's this too small, too slow journeyman catcher. But the pitcher is a star pitcher, and he carries him. He covers for him the whole season.
All right, Vic, before we go to break here, I'm going to remind you. Bring in Slapshot so we can make copies of it so I can watch it at the house.
Absolutely. What,
does Brian's song go anywhere, the story of Brian Piccolo and Gale
Sayers? I was never crazy about it.
No?
It's good, but never crazy about it.
How about Paper Lion, you know, being a news writer?
George Clinton, yeah.
A better book.
What about Miracle?
Mm-hmm. The ice thing?
Nah.
The hockey thing?
Nah. The real story was better.
Is that the one that was, oh, yeah.
It was out recently.
Kurt Russell.
Wasn't bad. The guy who played Herb Brooks was pretty good.
Kurt Russell.
Is that who played him?
Yeah.
He was pretty good. Not bad. Not bad. Good, Joe.
All right. We're due for a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll take it now and return with more Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna, only on AM 690 and 106.5 on your FM dial. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
You know, we're also tied into the internet now that I probably shouldn't be surprised. I never failed to marvel, you know, at this Wikipedia thing, because now I have every sports movie ever made by genre, by sport, at my fingertips. Mm-hmm. You name it, I can find it. It's amazing. There's so many movies that I've seen that I've forgotten I've even seen.
What's the worst sports movie of all time, in your opinion?
Oh, that's probably the, yeah, that's...
I mean, I know what it is for me.
Rudy.
No, it's not Rudy. I got a story about Rudy. I can tell you
the
a story about Rudy.
The Replacement.
That's bad.
That
the
was
worst,
Gene Hackman.
Yeah, that was terrible.
The Program. Oh.
James Caan.
Oh, it's just a horrible movie. Horrible.
Okay.
Any Given Sunday?
I could tell you a story about Rudy.
Yeah. Any Given Sunday.
When we get a break, let me ask
you. You can't
me.
Say it on the air, huh?
No.
Okay.
I tell it on the air.
About an actual story about Rudy.
Show you how this stuff, this Notre Dame crap, can get into kids' heads. I took my two boys when they were little boys on a Saturday night, cold, rainy, to the theater. It's one of these things with like 6 theaters. And the other 5 theaters, they were showing Terminator 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
All right.
It was so you could go to one of the 5 Terminators or Rudy. And my kids, I want to see Terminator 5. We're going to see Rudy. Oh, I don't want to see that crap. I want to see Terminator 3. You're going to see Rudy and you're going to like it. I had just seen it, went to a premiere showing. So we get in there, you know, da 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 da, the whole bit. And my oldest one is, this is stink. I don't want to see. This is stupid. Shut up. All right. They're sitting there. Oh, about 10, 15 minutes in, I'm not hearing anything more. They're watching it. I look to my right, and okay, this one's all right. I look to my left, the little one, he's all right. Okay, I sit back, just relax. I don't hear another peep. After the movie, we get in the car, we're driving home. Oldest one says, hey, Dad, he says, that was pretty good. Oh, thanks, Tobe. Little one in the back, I don't hear anything from him. A couple miles down the road, hey, Dad, where's Notre Dame? It's in South Bend, Indiana, Kevin. Little pause. Who's the coach, Dad? It's a guy named Lou Holtz. Nothing more is said. A couple weeks later, very large envelope arrived at the house from Lou Holtz. The little guy sent him a letter.
Oh, yeah?
And a big fan, you know. Lou Holtz sent back his picture, autographed picture, some Notre Dame crap, and a letter to him. Thanks for being an Irish fan. Next thing you know, we're at the mall buying all the Notre Dame crap, you know, just like Walsh down here. we got the socks. We got the underwear. We got the pajamas, the whole bit, you know. That's what that place does, man.
Oh, yeah.
Gets in your blood. Mm-hmm. Great story.
Good movie.
Great
it
story.
It was a good movie.
By the way, where does the fish that saved Pittsburgh come
hey,
in?
Hey, listen,
in your,
I forgot all about that. That's a cult movie. They show that on ESPN Classic all the time. Julius Irving, but it's the music and the clothes that, you know, the bell bottoms and the wide lapels and everything. It's pretty cool.
And finally, and we'll move on here. Doesn't the original Rocky have to go somewhere? I mean, that was Academy
Vic,
Award.
What, oh, yeah. Oh, for God's sake.
We should, all should be ashamed.
The original Rocky has
put it
got
at
to
the
fit
top.
On
the original Rocky. Adrian, it's got to be on there.
One. All right, to the phone lines we go. 355 and FL1.
Take her to the zoo, Rock.
Greg is on the west side. Cuff and Link, baby. Cuff and Link.
Take her to
what's
the
going
zoo.
On? Hey, Greg.
Hey, there's a movie that I haven't heard you guys miss yet. I thought I might need consideration. Remember the Titan.
Yeah.
Which I thought was one of my personal favorites.
I just didn't like it when they were singing at the end. It got a little hokey. But I mean, it was a good movie, yeah.
You know, I actually, Greg, believe it or not, the only connection that I have to that movie is that if you'll remember, the opposing team, the great Ed Henry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, Ed Henry, when I went to Virginia, he was a recruiting coordinator for head coach George Welsh.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously with great success in the high school system. He was a valuable recruiter to head coach George Welsh. And Ed Henry, by the way, last I have known, lives in Orange Park.
Is that
Come
right?
On.
Yes, sir.
Really?
Hey, Vince Lombardi's daughter lives in Mandarin.
You're right. She and his granddaughter plays on a soccer team out in Ponte Vedra.
How about that?
Hey, real quick, what about radio?
Very good.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Cuba
Gooding Jr.
Was that just a, that wasn't just a TV movie. That was a,
that
real,
was a real story.
Oh, it was real good.
Yeah.
It was a real movie.
Yes, it was.
Real good, yes.
355 NFL1.
Thank you,
the
Greg.
Phone call. Greg, we go to Tom down at Camp Blanding. Hello, Tom. Thanks for holding.
Hello there. Yes, I was thinking about the movie The Replacements, you know, and I compared them kind of to the Jaguars a little bit when he's talking about quicksand.
Yeah. Well, it's
that's a shot,
absolute,
Tom.
Yeah,
that hit my absolute
worst. I'll tell you what. I mean, if you want to talk about replacements, this team, I got help. Ryan Robinson and Dan Edwards did the math today, but there are 29 players on this 53-man roster right now who were not on this team on opening day 2008. 29 of the 53 players on this team. There are only 24 players left on this current roster that were on this roster on opening day 2008.
Half of the starters, half of the 22 starters are new. One half of the starting lineup is totally new. Real quick, Happy Gilmore?
Good. Very, very good.
I mean, there's different genres. There's mm-hmm. there's
Absolutely.
Serious filmmaking, and then there's...
One of his best movies.
One of Adam Sandler's best movies?
Oh, it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be amazed at all of the movies that have been made in this world about curling. 355 NFL1. Let's grab Dean in Fernandina Beach. Hello, Dean. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
Hi.
Hey, I got a couple questions for you. One is the suspension of the receiver this weekend. When I was listening to the radio, it seemed that the announcers were pretty much blaming the coach for suspending the receiver rather than the actions of the receiver.
Really?
Well, I mean, it came out that, like, well, when you suspend this receiver for this and you suspend this receiver for that, it, disables the, offensive coordinator, puts everybody into chaos. And if they were going to blame the receiver, I thought they would use verbiage like, you got to put the team in front of everything and all this other type of stuff. So,
you know, you're talking
it seemed
to me
that's where they were coming from.
Well,
I don't think he realized he's talking to them.
He was talking about television.
Oh, no, he said radio.
Radio.
Radio, radio. Yep.
Yeah,
well,
that's
I did not
us.
Watch the game.
Certainly, we did not want to blame the coach. My whole take on it was on the broadcast was that there's no question that not having a receiver certainly handicaps the offensive coordinator because he had a game plan in mind with a personnel, and when that personnel changes, there's no doubt that it changes his thought process when he's calling a game.
I said in the pregame, it's a double hit. They lose Mike Walker, and they lose Mike Thomas in his third receiver role.
Yeah, there were, you misunderstood it. There was no blame associated. It was simply a matter of fact.
No, because, you know, Dean, one of the things that me and Vic just got done talking about, you know, Vic had brought up that back in the day, the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Chuck Knoll, never did that type of thing.
No.
Suspended players or of that nature. And, you know, we were in agreement, which is kind of strange, but we were both in agreement. You got to do that.
It's a different day. What Jeff is saying is, in the old days, you could get away with it. I don't know why, but maybe it was because they didn't make the kind of money these guys are making. You know, when you make the kind of money these guys make, these guys are holding the team hostage. The guy doesn't play. You've got to make sure that the rules are very, very clear.
The only one to blame here is Mike Walker. He hurt his team by his actions, period, end of story.
We need a break here for news.
Okay, and when we come back, I want to go to something.
All right. News is next here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Phone lines have stayed stacked throughout the break. We'll get to them in a moment. You had something you wanted to address.
Well, what I wanted to say was this. When we were in Houston, Brian Iwu committed a team violation, and he was deactivated for that game. Now, Brian Iwu is from Houston. So, you know, it was not announced what he did, but you can assume that it was, you know, family or friends or something. He probably met up with some guys, some friends of his from college, and missed some kind of a deadline, all right? There was no story written about it. He's a backup player. Who cares, right? Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not a frontline player.
Mike Walker commits a team violation. It is a big story.
Well.
All right. Okay, now I understand
He's coming
that.
Along.
I understand that. I understand that.
Hottest receiver in the National Football League going in that game.
Okay, I understand that. But how could anybody, and I heard some radio talk shows that said he shouldn't have been deactivated. Did they consider that the precedent was set with Brian Iwu? No coach can say, okay, he gets deactivated because he's a backup, but he doesn't get deactivated because he's a star. No coach can do that. You can't have a class system. So I don't understand how any media guy, how anybody who works in this business, who is around football and covers football, knowing that the precedent was set with Brian Iwu, could possibly expect any other action than what Jack Del Rio did to Mike Sims-Walker.
I agree.
Ditto. And we move on. 355-NFL-1. James is in Atlantic Beach. Hello, James. How are you tonight?
Good evening, gentlemen. Jeff, I miss you on the field, brother. It's been a long time, baby.
Appreciate it.
Hey, I got a public service announcement to make of what not to do when my boys are getting their butts whipped. And we had a party, probably 30 people over here, and we were all sick of the game. I threw my Jaguar hat down onto my porch, and I was going to field goal kick it to the barbecue grill.
Uh-oh.
Well, to my dismay, I missed the doggone hat, slipped all the way down the porch, busted my knee wide open, tore a ligament, and it's bruised, sprained, and in a cast.
Hey, you know who you remind me of, James? James, you remember the kicker in Tampa that jumped, or was it in
Gramatica?
Martin Gramatica celebrating a field goal, and he jumped up in the air and tore his ACL.
And who was that? Was it Ferrat that headbutted the wall or something?
Yes. In Washington back in 97.
I felt so bad. I even had my mom and dad over here. I was like, oh, God, take me to emergency room. My knee swelled up like two footballs, and as much as I love my team, and I kicked the hat off the porch, and I aimed for the grill, missed the hat. So Don't do that. Just support him and love him, baby.
Thanks, James.
True words have never been spoken. Thank you very much. 355-NFL-1. We move right along. Mike is out at the beach. Hello, Mike. How are you tonight?
Hey, guys. I'm doing very well. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
Wanted to start off by saying that I'm all in. You know, I appreciate what Del Rio, you know, took a stand for Mike Sims-Walker and, you know, really set the tone for the team that, you know, he's not going to tolerate.
You know, last December 30th, 2 days after the Jaguars lost in Baltimore in the season finale, last game of the year, Jack Del Rio stood in front of the media in his year-ending address, and he drew a line in the sand. He said, it's going to change around here. Everyone is going to be expected to be at off-season conditioning. Everyone is going to be expected to be at OTAs. We're not going to have any more absenteeism. Everybody's got to be all in all the time. And everybody, the media, fans, everybody, applauded, stood up and cheered. Absolutely, that's the way it's got to be. All right.
Okay, I just wanted to ask a quick question, though, about Dirk Cutter.
Well, okay. I'm sorry that story didn't interest you, but... Go ahead, and then I'll finish it when you're done.
No, I mean, I read your story on the website, and I definitely agree with you. But what my question is...
He already
is
knew
about,
your story, Vic.
Okay.
Well, he's a fan.
I follow the Jaguars pretty closely. But, you know, my question was, just because Mike Sims-Walker was out of the game, I don't understand why they can't put Mike Thomas in motion, get the ball to him, you know, get the ball.
Because you can't play... Let's see. You can't be a Z... X is the split, Y is the tight end, Z is the number two receiver.
He's off the line wide receiver.
You can't be a Z and a slot at the same time. You know, there's roles. X is your split end, Y is your tight end, and Z is your flanker. He had to go into what is Mike, an X or a Z?
Does a little bit of both.
Okay, he had to be an X and a Z, so he couldn't be a slot receiver. He couldn't be the role that goes with that.
Here's the thing. When you talk about that, Mike, about the offensive coordinator and trying to adjust without Mike Sims-Walker, we sat down in the pregame radio show and talked with offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter, and I remember asking him a question about what was it like for him coming into this year with such a new group, you know, people that he doesn't really know yet. And he said, you know, the one thing you always like as a coach is having known quantities.
Mm-hmm.
But, boy, you talk about getting into unknown territory when you're basically told the day before the game, hey, your number one wide receiver, he's not going to play.
And listen, it's not getting any easier for Dirk Cutter. The star running back, Maurice Jones-Drew, he was very forthright in expressing his dismay at the lack of rushing attempts. Today, in media time, he expressed disappointment, dismay at not getting more rushing attempts.
Well, if you look at his totals over the last two games, and I'm sure that this is where some of that comes from, he had 9 touches for 40 yards in
the Tennessee game. Yeah, but that was
Rashad
Jennings. They put him in.
That's right.
And 12 touches this last
to time. Save his legs, Jeff.
In the last two games, 26 touches for 79 yards.
Understood. But what's that old Sammy Baugh clip from NFL Films? I guarantee you, your game plan don't include no damn 27 to nothing.
Well, yeah, that's
you know, when you, or except he said 53 to nothing.
Right.
You know, when from that infamous Bears-Redskins NFL title game, which they lost, was 57 to nothing?
Yep.
And you know, and he says, I mean, when you get down by that much, you're not running the ball. Your game plan is out the window.
That's just common logic, which is why I'm surprised that Maurice was so willing to share.
Yeah.
Dismay.
You know, last week was kind of throw Quentin Groves under the bus week, and this week is kind of throw Dirk Cutter under the bus week, and after the Arizona game it was throw Dirk Cutter under the bus week. I think they need to stop throwing people under the bus.
Who's doing the throwing?
Well, didn't you? Yeah. He spoke out. He spoke out, and there's something to be said for that as a leader of the team. But that's kind of early in the year for that, isn't it?
He lost 41 to nothing. At what point do you just give up on the run entirely.
I'm going to tell you, the emails I'm getting from fans didn't say they should have run the ball more.
Yeah. 355-NFL-1. Let's grab one more call, and then we'll take our last break in this hour, and we will go with Art, who's been holding in Springfield. Hello, Art.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
That's real good. Hey, I'm tired. Okay, now, I know the Jags tried. They tried. That's besides the point, period. Okay, now, I remember it was a shutout game between when the Jags played the Dolphins. Dan Marino retired. Now, man, that was a disgrace. Now, myself, like when they played the St. Louis Rams here at the Gear Bowl. Now, myself, like I'm an underdog. Now, I was going to go with the Seattle Seahawks because they were underdog. But, you know, I didn't watch the game. I had to go to work. And then also Sunday when they played the St. Louis Rams, used to be the L.A. Rams. Now, they're the underdogs. But and myself, like, you know, and also when I had the playoffs, when Burnell was the quarterback, they came close when they played, say, Denver Broncos. But, you know, God bless them, and I take my what are the chances are between St. Louis Rams and the Jags and also, and well, I'll take my answer off the air. Bye.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1 or 1-800-355-NFL-1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna. If you ever wondered, do they take all the calls they get? We do. We answer them all.
I think Joe just did another great job, fantastic job of screening phone calls there.
I think there's too much of this throw Joe under the bus stuff. Me and Dirk.
Nice, Jeff. No, it's about time you go under the bus.
Me and Dirk are just hanging out together.
Oof. That was weird, man. Oh, wow.
You think we can go back to the phones, or are you a little freaked?
Like, I don't know, you know?
Let's go back to the phones.
All right. We've got Ron, who joins us from Orange Park. Hello, Ron.
Hi.
Oh. Hi, Ron.
Hello there.
Hi.
Been twice.
Go ahead, Ron.
What I want to say is a vote of confidence about a great city with a great leader, a great head coach, a great owner. And I'm proud to be a part of the Jaguars. You know, it's like anything else. You shake it off as a professional, and you move on down the road. We use critical thinking skills to see where we're at, and now we know where we're at. Now it's a game plan for going to the next level.
I'm with you. I am with you all the way on this.
Now I'm really anxious about taking phone calls. We just don't know what to expect.
He's a fan.
He's passionate.
He's passionate.
I like that.
Yeah.
But the number one thing, though, that this team needs right now, consistency. You go from down to the wire battle against Indy, and then you come home, you get hammered by the Cardinals. You go back and forth with the Texans, you get a win.
Yeah, but that's
The Tennessee Titans, and then you go to Seattle. Oh.
But that's a product of what you are. It's a product of what this team is.
Now, I understand that, you know, a 2-3 record is a product, you know, of what you are. But like I said to you before the game, I'm okay with a team being 2-3 if you're seeing areas of improvement, you know, and you're seeing a team lose a game, you know, tightly fought, but 41-0. I mean, that was a hard one to watch. It was a hard one to call, and it was a hard one to swallow.
The first personnel move this team made involving a defensive player in the year 2009 was on February 11th when they cut Drayton Florence. Okay? Would you like to take a guess as to how many, you're not going to believe this, how many personnel moves this team has made to date this year in 2009 involving defensive players? It's mind-boggling.
How many?
76.
76 moves?
76.
Well, I knew it was a lot. I didn't realize it was that many.
I mean, we are talking about, I mean, you know, it's in the book.
Yeah, no, I didn't, and the type is very small.
It's in the book. If you look at the book you have
I've
and find
it. It's right here.
Okay, there you go. And if you look, those are – this is uncommon. It's extraordinary. This is remarkable. There's nothing like it anywhere. This team has spent, since we've gone to training camp, I'm not even going to go into OTAs when they were bringing in Marlon McCree and Gerald Alexander. This team, since training camp, has been active, making 3-4 moves a week. The Brian Russells and the Courtney Greens. There was
Keenan
a guy.
Forney.
I mean, the changes that.
Brian Smith.
The changes that have and are occurring with this football team this year are not being made with consistency in mind. They're being made with the future in mind. This year is being used, hopefully, as a springboard to better things. What was done here in personnel for 6 years has darn near collapsed the franchise. It's ruined the football team. Last year, the Jaguars went into the 2008 draft with 11 picks. They came away with 5 players, and only 2 of them are left. Quentin Groves and Derek Harvey, and they're struggling. You can't waste a draft like that. You can't waste 11 picks. You can't have had this persistent first-round failure that this team has endured for 6 years and not pay a price. The price is 41-0. That's the price this team is paying right now. And any team in the league that has endured the failures in the draft that this team has endured for 6 years would be paying that price.
Now, let me ask you about one player that you're talking about that was part of those moves. Greg Peterson, since being signed.
He can't play. He's got a bad knee.
What's the time frame for him?
Well, Jack on his show 2 weeks ago said that he thought he would be ready to start practicing after the bye week.
After the bye
week. See, again, you're right on it, though. He was acquired with the future in mind, not with now in mind.
Well, it's just like...
Gene Smith is building this roster for the future. He's not building this roster
for
this year.
The kid from Norfolk State. The defensive back that they grabbed from
Courtney
Cleveland.
Courtney Green?
No.
Don Carey.
Don Carey, yeah. Right. I mean, when they grabbed him, they knew he wasn't going to play this year. They were going to put him on injured reserve.
Of course. I mean, look at the guys. Look at the names. Don Carey, Courtney Green, Greg...
William Middleton.
It's just...
Ryan Smith.
I mean, you know, it's extraordinary. It is absolutely extraordinary. The guy from San Diego, Forney.
Keenan Forney.
Okay, and there's somebody else they just grabbed recently, and I saw him on the plane, and I didn't know who he was. And I said to Ryan Robinson, I said, who is that? I didn't even know who he was.
Offense or defense?
I can't remember now. It'll come to me.
Brian Smith?
I think it might have been.
The defensive end that came in from the Rams practice squad?
And it's just extraordinary what's going on. And we haven't adjusted our expectations. The Jaguars should be 3-3 after this week. I don't know how. If they're 3-3, I don't know how they did it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't. But if you think 41-0 is going to send me into the tank, there's no way. It's just not with this roster. 37-17 on the upside to 41-0 on the downside.
Sends you right to the roster.
Hey, I covered good Steelers teams that were 1-6 in Seattle. 1-6. You know what a trip to Seattle means? Losing. That's usually what it means for good teams.
I know what it felt like to get off that plane.
I mean, these trips across the coast. Let me give you a little example.
I wasn't playing.
The San Diego Chargers have never in their history won a regular season game in Pittsburgh, 0-14. The San Diego Chargers haven't won in New England since the name was changed from Boston Patriots, 1973.
Didn't they just win 2 or 3 years ago then when Danny and Tomlinson had a wild day in October?
Well, I'll look at the media guide.
I think they broke that.
Okay, right. Maybe I got it wrong then.
Yeah.
But if they did, I just missed one.
Right.
Okay? I mean, it's a tough thing for a good team to do. And, you know, the Cardinals were in the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
Cardinals were 0-6 in the Eastern time zone. And they were in the Super Bowl. It's a tough thing to do for good teams. I'm sorry. This isn't a good team.
Not yet.
That's right. Not yet.
Take a break and return. News is next on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
Welcome back. Hour number two now, Jaguars This Week. And thanks to the folks at the Uptown Market, a brand new location, 3rd and Main. The Burrito Gallery folks have opened a new restaurant. They brought by some paninis, some salads, and it was fun. Big grand opening weekend coming up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So stop by the Uptown Market and tell them you're looking for what they brought the guys on Jaguars This Week.
Good catch. Good catch on the Charger thing I was talking about.
I just remember LT had a big day that day.
Yeah. Now, I was wrong at both ends. So here's the real facts. Since 1970, when the San Diego Chargers beat the Boston Patriots in Boston, the Chargers have only won one time in New England, and that was in 2005. In other words, until they won in 2005, and they haven't won in New England since, they hadn't won in New England since 1970 when the New England Patriots were the Boston Patriots.
Your point's well taken.
That's kind of that's Vanderbilt kind of
right.
stuff.
Hasn't won an LSU since 1902.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff you get with Vanderbilt and
or Virginia and Clemson.
Or Iowa State and Oklahoma.
Yeah, right.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Maybe I'm crazy on this, but I was telling someone the other day that I probably would feel worse if they got beat 21-0 than 41-0 because 41-0 means everything goes right for one team and everything goes wrong for the other. Wasn't there some of that in that ball game?
Yeah, I mean, there was a few bounces that
that's
you were
like,
wow.
You know, I mean, look, everything went right for them the week before and mm-hmm. everything went wrong for Tennessee.
I mean, there was a couple plays. I mean, you know, the majority of them were self-inflicted.
Okay, but a couple of plays can change a game. I mean, one of the plays that you're talking about being self-inflicted was Mercedes Lewis, right?
Yeah, Mercedes had a drop.
In the end zone. What if it's 7-3 there?
Yeah, he had a drop. You know, the ones that weren't self-inflicted, you could say the ball bouncing off of, I think, Iwu's hands one time where it was caught by the tight end. The other one you could say is the interference call on Russell Allen, which I thought was a poor call.
And it negated, at a 3-0 game, it negated mm-hmm. an interception by Gerald Alexander. And then the ball bouncing into Nick Reese's hands at a full run?
Yeah, but, I mean, to me, he had plenty of time to look and pick it up. You know, that wasn't a fortunate bounce, you know.
How about the one that Aaron Curry knocked out of the hands of David into the defensive end, 94?
Nick Reed.
No, that was the other one. That was 94.
Corey Redding.
You know, I mean, I'm just saying. I'm not trying to justify it, but 41-0 means everything went right for the Seahawks.
You see, Jeff hit this on the nose in the pregame when we were talking about records and blah 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 blah, and he said, "Look, what's important is to play well," and he's right on. This season is not about the record. This is about playing well. I'm gonna give you an example. The Kansas City Chiefs are 0-5, but now they're starting to play well. Now they're starting to look like what you want to see going forward. And we didn't see that in Seattle. We saw a team that played very poorly, and I think that's a fair evaluation.
No, but the thing that I was pointing to is that, you know, you had a tough performance against Arizona at home. You made progress in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You just really thought you made more progress against Tennessee and then that. That's what you look at and you go, wait a minute, you know.
So did it tell you that they hadn't made as much progress as you thought they had?
No,
or
I think that
they just hit a wall.
It means that they took a step back.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, and I'm looking at 30th in the league on defense, which is just a horrible number. That's not this franchise's this team's history under Jack Del Rio. That's really a frightening number because not only is it bad, I think it's getting worse.
It's not getting any better on defense.
No.
You know, you want to see it get better. You know, 3 sacks in 4 games going into that game in Seattle, and then you go into a game in which you know, we had talked about it in a pregame show, radio and television, about how you have a battered offensive line with a quarterback who's coming back from a broken rib. I mean, this is an area you're like, oh, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what I like to see him do. I like to see him junk at 3-4. I like to see him get back in the 4-3, get Derek Harvey's hand on the ground, and play something that at least looks like it fits your personnel, because they do not have the personnel to play a 3-4. It's just absurd.
Would it be markedly different, in your opinion, if they went back to a 4-3? Are they playing that much straight 3-4?
I mean, yeah, I mean, they're playing all.
All.
I mean, they're playing all 3-4, with the exception of nickel, which everybody in nickel plays basically four down.
Right.
You know, and it just depends on who's got his hand down. You know, so, but, see, I mean, you've committed to it. I mean, you've put all that work in training camp and now through the regular season. I mean, you can't just say, okay, let's go back to 4-3.
Yeah, but it's been my information that that 4-3 was going to be their base, and they were going to use 3-4 as a gimmick defense, and then Reggie Hayward got hurt, and that was the end of that. Well, I just don't see the gain in this. Derek Harvey looks lost. He appears to be out in space, in outer space.
He played pretty well against the run this past week. But, you know, I'm obviously you're going to go right and say that, you know, Derek Harvey was expected to be a impact in the passing game, and he hasn't been.
He was drafted to have his hand on the ground and get the quarterback. The New York Giants had just won the Super Bowl with all those every down defensive ends.
Umanyora, Strahan, Justin Tuck.
Kai Wanuka, yeah. All right.
And although, don't they play Kai Wanuka in that 3-4 linebacker set up there? Didn't he have his hand? Yeah. They backed him up.
When they had all those ends, he was actually a backer.
Right.
That's right. And then you had the injuries, and then he went back to his hand down.
Anyhow, I just don't like the three. Just maybe, you know, going forward, you got to have 8-9 linebackers to play this thing. You can't play this with 6 linebackers. You don't have enough linebackers. You don't have enough 2-gap type defensive linemen. I'm not even sure you have the defensive backs to play what you need to play behind it.
See, you've got a couple defensive linemen that can do it.
Knighton.
And Henderson. Henderson is playing very well.
As an end.
As an end. In this 3-4. I mean, it suits him to
a T. That's surprising.
And you say that.
Didn't surprise me.
The technique is different for him?
Well, I think this fits John better because he's not a get-off-the-ball quick guy.
Right.
You know, and you like to have those guys when you're playing, and, you know, in the 4-3, whereas John is a big, strong, powerful guy. And if you play him 2-gap, I mean, you can't muscle him. He's just too strong. You know, I think the 3-4 fits John perfectly.
Yeah, but I'm concerned about Harvey. You invested a lot in this guy, and I don't think
it's not about one guy, though. Can't be about one guy.
But is it going well, Jeff? They're 30th.
No, it's not going well. I mean, statistically, I mean, look at the numbers. I mean, you're giving up a bunch of yards in the passing game, and the opposing quarterbacks are having great days against you. You know, I mean, is it going great? No. But would it change if you were on a 4-3?
Probably not.
I don't know.
Probably not change. But would people feel more comfortable in their old roles? I think they would. I think your linebackers would do better. I see teams are attacking the Jaguars' linebackers.
I just hope that this week, because, you know, last week you had Darryl Smith in really a changed role, mm-hmm. and that he became a pass rusher.
He did.
And you know what? He looked pretty good.
Yeah.
He looked very good.
Had a chance at a couple of sacks.
I mean, he was the one guy that was consistently bringing pressure. Mm-hmm. If you don't have Durant this week healthy, and if you don't have Clint Ingram healthy this week, can you continue him in that role?
No.
Not against a team like Steven Jackson, and they're hammering you.
I mean, you lined up with 2 undrafted guys, Brian Iwu and Russell Allen, one of whom is a rookie.
Russell Allen played pretty well.
Yeah, I know, Jeff, but you're missing the point.
No, I know your point. I get your point.
Okay.
I get your point.
Let's take a break. More to come here on Jaguars This Week right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL-1
or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio WOKV.
Welcome back. More Jaguars This Week now on News Talk Radio WOKV. Time to go to the phone lines, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Leon's down on the south side. Leon, welcome to the show.
Thank you, gentlemen, for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is for Jeff. We're five games into this season so far, and I take your insight to heart on everything that you say. What would be the number one thing that you would change to get us back on track?
Well, didn't we just establish that they're not off track? I mean, well, this is a team that is in the middle of rebuilding.
There's no getting it across that the track you're talking about ain't there for this team.
The what?
The track he's talking about. He's talking about getting on the playoff track. He's talking about turning this team into a winner. He's talking about going back to 2007. That 07 season is the measuring stick that is being used for this team ever since. That track is gone. It got blown up. It doesn't exist. This team is on a new track.
Yeah, I don't, Leon, I don't think there's that anything that you can say, okay, this change I make here is going to make a big difference. I think that really, if you look at what they've done in the first five games, they have really done a lot of different things already. I mean, we're talking about lineup-wise. I mean, look at the offensive line. You've had Trey Thomas, you've had Eugene Monroe. Vince Mottolai and Brad Meester have only been the only two constants on the offensive line. At the running back position, you've had Rashad's played, Maurice has played, Greg Jones has played tailback. At the wide receiver group, I mean, you've had everybody has been active at one point and has played. Defensively, you've played 4-3, you've played 3-4. You've had Derek Harvey as an end, you've had him as a backer. Groves has been as an end, he's been as a backer. Darryl Smith has been an inside backer, he's been an outside backer. You've had Constantine at safety, you've had Gerald Alexander at safety. I mean, they're trying a bunch of different things.
This is the first team the Jaguars will face this year, St. Louis. And maybe not. With all those high picks that St. Louis has, maybe not. But I was going to say that this will probably be the first team that the Jaguars will face this year. In fact, I'm not going to say it. The Jaguars will not have faced a team this year that doesn't have a better roster than them.
You lost me. You're saying that the Rams...
The Rams with all... I mean, look at the high picks the Rams have.
You think that's a better roster?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
With all the picks... Hey, those picks the Jaguars made at the same time are gone. Matt Jones is gone. Reggie Williams is gone. Byron Leftwich is gone.
Yeah, but they picked Jason Smith in the first round this year. Didn't we decide that was a terrible pick?
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I said that before they made
the pick. Well, I know, and that's why I'm saying it. Then you look at Alex Barron. Has he lit the world on fire at left tackle?
All right. I'll go back to what I was going to say to begin with. This may be the first team the Jaguars will play this year that has on whom the Jaguars have a roster advantage. But
that's fair.
But Steven Jackson is a premier talent. Look at the Rams receivers. Call them out.
Donnie Avery.
You don't know anybody.
Donnie Avery.
They're pretty average.
Donnie Avery was their second-round pick last year. Danny Amendola is a return man off the Eagles practice squad. Mm-hmm. Keenan Burton, second-year player from Kentucky. Ruvell Martin, mm-hmm. Probably will not play this week. And Nate Jones, mm-hmm. A first-year player from Texas.
Jaguars have better receivers.
Their tight end is Randy McMichael.
Add Tim Carter to the wide receiver group.
Oh, that's right.
They did add him this week.
I don't think the fans will accept the reality of it until maybe we get to the end of the year and look back and say, you know, I guess that really was rebuilding.
Progress.
That's what it's all about. You're right on.
Got to make progress.
But progress. You know, progress is beating the Texans and beating the Titans, but you can't have progress without a step back here and there. It's not going to be a straight uphill climb.
Okay, let me ask you this. If the Jaguars win this Sunday, and they go into the bye week, obviously, 3-3. Is that a successful start to the season?
Well, yeah.
Record-wise, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You'd have taken 3-3
and you'd
before
say,
the season began in a heartbeat.
And you, yeah, absolutely. And then you would say that, hey, look, you know, you faced a Super Bowl team in the Cardinals – And then they had one bad misstep in Seattle.
Yeah.
Right?
It was a bad misstep because they just got ripped. They just got thrashed. And you don't want to ever have that happen to you. And then they've had two games like that this year.
But they're 2-3, and they played well in one of the losses.
Win this Sunday, and all is well with the world.
But, you know, it would have been nice to have such a convincing win here against Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
To go to Seattle, play well.
Mm-hmm.
And coming back home to a game in which you're going to play in front of your home crowd, mm-hmm. in front of a fan base that hasn't been out in big numbers. Now, that's also kind of part of the disappointing thing in Seattle.
Because you knew you're coming home and going to have a stadium that was going to be less full than it was already going
to be. It was an opportunity to get people kind of reinvigorated with this team.
When this team opens next season, you won't even recognize it relative to the 2017. I mean, the changes are we're at 24 left and counting. And when this, by the time this team goes through another draft and certainly another two drafts, the face of this team is changing dramatically all the time.
355-NFL-1. Let's grab a couple more calls here, and we'll go with Jeremy, who joins us downtown. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to do it.
Yeah, I wanted to call because I'm a season ticket holder, but I actually grew up in Michigan, and I still consider myself a Lions fan. And when I look at them, I see a team that really doesn't care about losing. And I think the Jaguars right now are at a tipping point where they can either get a lot better or a lot worse. And by controlling the players, getting them focused on winning, getting them to focus on football most of all, that's really going to be important this season. And I don't think that, you know, an average record, a 500 record, is going to be a big disappointment. I think a big disappointment would be seeing guys that are more interested in getting paid than playing.
You give me 8-8 right now, I'll take it run.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
hey, after seeing the Lions play last year, you know, I'll take 4 wins.
But Jeff has hit it. When he says progress, that's what this is all about. You have to be able to see progress. You saw it against Houston, and you saw it against Tennessee, and then you saw that massive step backward this past weekend. If you see it against St. Louis, you go into the bye week, you know, feeling pretty good. You want to see signs of it, but it's not going to be consistent. Anyone who thinks that this is just going to be, you know, a stairway,
it's not.
No.
It's not a straight uphill climb.
This is a roller coaster.
It's like the Dow Jones.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 1 week you're at 10,000. 355-NFL-1. Appreciate the phone call. Let's grab one more here before we sign off with the news at the bottom of the hour. We'll go to Andy over in Arlington. Good evening, Andy.
Hey, good evening, guys. I had a question for you. Is the jury still out on Harvey and Groves? Because when I see them and I see the team right now, I get flashbacks of the 72, 73, and 74 Patriots defensive line and defensive team, and I get scared. And, Victor, you probably remember that real well, being here on the other side for the Steelers.
Well, I know you're talking about Julius Adams and that group, right?
Oh, God, man.
But, I mean, you know, you're going into ancient history. Only you and I can recall that, you know, Julius Adams. And by the way, there was another guy on that defensive line. His name was Ray Hamilton.
Sugar Bear.
The former Jaguars defensive line coach. It was a pretty good defensive line. I really don't know where you're going with this, because it was a pretty good defensive line. Julius Adams and Ray Hamilton were darn good defensive linemen. But you asked a question, and it's germane. It's about Derek Harvey and Quentin Groves. So let's go there. Let's start with this. Last week was not a good week for Quentin Groves. It began with a demotion to third string behind Brian Smith, and it ended with a car accident that just ruined the guy's weekend. I mean, just a horrible week. Quentin Groves, 30 years...
Ruined some other people's weekend, too.
Oh, yeah. 30 years from now, Quentin Groves might tell you it was the worst weekend of his life. You know, it was a really bad week. I don't know what his future is with the team, because frankly, right now, it doesn't look real good.
It's the other guy that I'm most concerned about because he pocketed $17 million and an eighth pick of the draft, the top 10 pick. So a huge investment was made in him. Now, let's remember this. I just want to use one guy as an example. As of 2 weeks ago, when Mike Tomlin benched Rashard Mendenhall in Cincinnati, he had bust written all over him. First-round pick, bust. Really? And I mean, and the Pittsburgh writers were putting it all over him, bust. They were writing him off.
Then he ran over the Chargers.
166 yards rushing. Last week he had another pretty good game. So, you know, it can turn. We said that for years and years and years about Reggie Williams, and it never really happened. I never really said it about Matt Jones. I think I had that one pegged from the beginning. But you do have to be patient with these guys. You know, Reggie Williams was a ninth pick of the draft. So a major investment was made in him. You got to be patient. And you got to do the same thing with Derek Harvey.
Now, let me ask you this. You think they're talking about Chris Long in St. Louis much as they are talking about Derek Harvey?
He can't get on the field.
He didn't start the last two games. He had four sacks as a rookie. What did Derek Harvey have? Three and a half?
Jason Smith, second pick of the draft. He's got stiff written on
him. Chris Long does not have a sack yet this year. Derek Harvey doesn't have a sack yet this year.
Oh, that is correct.
And Chris Long was the second overall pick in the draft last year. I hate to say that. He's a Virginia guy and all, but
he ain't Howie Long.
The conversation may be similar in St. Louis.
Yeah, but you got to hang on. You know, I mean, you're the caller is a fan of the Patriots. Let's not forget who the quarterback was of that Patriots team. Jim Plunkett, first pick of the draft. They didn't hang in with him. He won two Super Bowls with the Raiders.
Time for a break. News is next at the bottom of the hour, and we'll finish the show up between 7:30 and 8 here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.
To talk to Brian, Jeff, and Vic, dial 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. Now, back to Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna on News Talk Radio, WOKV.
All right, about 20 minutes left in the program here. Plenty of time for you to jump on with thoughts about the Jaguars game on Sunday against the Rams. Hopefully the movies distracted everybody and we got past the whole Seahawks thing. But if you want to talk about it, I guess we can go back there. Let's grab John. Always calling over from Keystone Heights. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Well, one thing is in the AFC South, we've only lost one game.
Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely.
That's right. And the one game we lost, we were in the game. The other thing is what I'm thinking is you know, it looks like they're trying to go younger, doing better with the younger, and that should be progress in the future. I mean, that's what we want, isn't it?
You bring up something real good. Now, you have introduced good subject matter, and it goes like this. Everything is relative. All things are relative. And the Jaguars are playing in this division. Now, I can tell you this. Tennessee's got bigger problems than the Jaguars.
Oh,
they got massive problems.
Javon Kearse didn't help much.
You know, you already had problems in the locker room, and now Kearse, what does that do for a locker room, Logie?
Right. Let me bounce something off you. It would not surprise me. Would not surprise me in the least. If at the end of the year Wade Phillips is out in Dallas and Jeff Fisher decides that would be a good place to coach, all right?
Jeff Fisher's not going anywhere.
Maybe not, but I don't think his football team looks like it's going anywhere either. No. They've got no quarterback, and I mean they're going to be completely empty at the position when the season is over. They could be looking at a rebirth, a rebuilding kind of season next year, as the Jaguars are this year. The other team, the Texans, are heading for a coaching change.
Yes,
in my opinion. All right. Which leaves, of course, the Indianapolis Colts, who are just keep rolling along, doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, Peyton Manning.
There's no question. But, you know, when does the gong hit him?
I don't know, but it certainly hadn't gotten close to him yet.
You realize he sure has 47,000 passing yards.
Of course, this is the regular season. But, you know, it's just...
I mean, he is in rarefied air in terms of the quarterback numbers.
He's better than I've ever seen him.
Better than I have ever seen him, too. He is just shredding other teams. He's tearing them apart.
He didn't shred this team.
I heard a comment this week, and somebody was talking about, well, how come the Jaguars, one of the local guys, how come the Jaguars can't find people like Austin Colley? You know, Pierre Garçon. You know, how come the Jaguars can't find somebody like that? I'm
Did Buscelli say that?
No. And I'm sitting there going,
that's good. I like that.
I'm going, are you serious? I mean, are you that dumb that you don't understand how that works?
They'd have to be.
Peyton Manning. Hello? Oh,
come on. Peyton Manning did it? You mean that Pierre Garçon guy ain't no good? Pierre Garçon. What a name for a football player.
Sounds more like a maitre d'.
I mean, it's by the way, I get a kick out of Chris Berman saying how Peyton Manning has a dog, a color, and a waiter.
Yeah, I like that. And what's Reggie Wayne, Bruce Wayne's son, Batman?
Yeah. I heard that. I was just going, oh my.
But the caller, he, it's good subject matter. The team is in a division that is in decline. This division, by the way, gentlemen, has not won a playoff game since the Jaguars won in Pittsburgh.
Right.
That's a division in decline. What do you got?
Say that again. You lost me there.
The AFC South has not won a playoff game since the Jaguars won in Pittsburgh.
In 97.
Right. This is a division in decline. And that's good for the Jaguars because they are a team in rebuilding.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But the problem is that Peyton Manning's still there.
Well, I know some people. You get me.
And I wouldn't say that team is in decline.
Cost about $25,000. I got numbers.
Did you see that? He's from Pittsburgh. Did you see that they cut Ed Johnson?
I did see that.
This week.
So the AFC South has had a did you ever read why?
No, I never did see that.
Ed Johnson
not a good guy.
2 years ago, last year. 2 years ago?
Two.
2 years ago got cut because of possession, marijuana.
Yeah.
Brought back to the team this year, had the one-game suspension from the league, right?
Yeah, he didn't play opening day against the Jaguars.
Against Jaguars. And serves it. You think, okay, everything's hunky-dory. What happened? Something's going on. Something happened.
He was their best interior defensive
lineman. Ed Johnson again.
Yeah.
And the general manager there in Indianapolis, Vic's best friend Bill Polian, said, mm-mm, not on my team. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
And people are mad here because they put a guy down because he missed a team.
I didn't hear anybody that was mad. Just all Vic's friends mad.
355 NFL 1. Chris is out at the beach. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I had a question about, coaching and Jack Del Rio. What are your guys' thoughts on, he's going into his, sixth or seventh year here. I don't think he's a bad coach. I think he's a solid NFL-level coach that's not going to embarrass you. But, what are your thoughts on just having a dramatic change? I mean, we've been kind of rebuilding now for a few years, and at what point do you say, hey, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing over again and getting the same result? Look at Belichick, got run out of Cleveland.
You're confusing the issue here.
They're not rebuilding again.
Yeah, I mean they're not doing the same thing again. They fired the previous personnel director. They hired they promoted Gene Smith and gave him total authority over personnel. So you have a complete restructuring of the personnel department. I think you're seeing Jack Del Rio as a kind of Tom Coughlin one-voice guy, and that's just not the way it is.
Yeah, I guess my point is just that, again, maybe a change is needed where, he fits into a better system, someone else fits into our system, just something different.
Well, Chris, let me say this. The most important change that had to take place happened.
That's well said. I mean, that is really bingo.
Now what you need is time.
And talent.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, this team is where it's at now because James Harris didn't draft well. He didn't operate the cap well. He didn't operate in free agency very well. He didn't spend money wisely. That problem has been changed. It's been addressed. They've restructured the personnel department. The change is here. Now you just got to give it time.
Yeah, and it puts Jack Del Rio in a tough spot because
we don't get a lot of callers who say, oh, yeah, he needs time. You know, we get a lot of callers
who pushes the button
who have run out of time.
Well, ask yourself this question. Would Bill Belichick take this roster and do more with it?
No, no one was going. No one could take this team to the playoffs. Nobody could take this team to the playoffs. It cannot.
Bill Belichick has done special things, but he has had one heck of a quarterback.
Wait a minute, Jeff. Bill Belichick was 5-13, and on his way to being fired on the day Tom Brady was made the starting quarterback,
which is why I bring it up.
Okay,
because it was about players.
5-13, and on his way to being fired again. Again,
it's all about players.
You gotta have them.
Gotta have the players.
Gotta have them.
All right, we need a break. One more segment to come. Jaguars this week. We'll wrap up after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. Depend on it. Welcome back to Jaguars this week.
What?
Victor is funny.
Yeah, we know that. He has been for a long time. There's many funny things about him, too. 7:51, which means we've got about 8 minutes left in the program. I so want to go ahead and replay the caller we had about an hour ago.
We had interesting calls tonight.
I mean, we haven't said a word about it. We just let it go because when you do that, you don't know if the gentleman was of right mind or not, or if he was just playing a prank on you. It was funny and strange at the same time.
Leave it alone.
Yeah, we'll leave it alone. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, and we go to, let's go to Leopold out at the beach. Hello, Leopold. Welcome to the show.
Hey, hey, gang. How you doing?
Good, Leopold. You okay, are you okay now?
Yeah,
Did you
okay.
Recover from Monday night?
Yes, sir. I know you hung up on me, but that's okay. I'm still a fan of your work.
I took him off, Leopold, huh?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I understand that. No, I just called by this MJD comment, and my question was, if he made that comment, is the reason why he's making that comment because the evolution around the office is changing and he's no longer featured?
Reason he made the comment is he's frustrated.
He wants the ball.
He wants the ball because he believes that with the ball in his hands, he can help him win. I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with it.
You know, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, but
you don't want too much. You don't want too much angst. I mean, it can't be every week when another complaint,
right? And when it's 41-0, that's not the reasonable time to bring it up.
We had that movement with the beard and everything and the unity and the whole bit. And now all of a sudden,
it's the other way.
Yeah, I don't. You know what I'm trying to say?
No, I know what you're trying to say.
If you lose 31-28,
I like the beard better.
You lose 31-28, and you only have 9 carries. That's one thing. 41-0.
No, I understand that, but you know that I think it's a player who's one of the ultimate competitors.
Passion, no question.
That is not is challenging others in his way. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
do you see it that way?
Absolutely, absolutely. I have no problem with this, but I'd like this to not happen again.
Okay. Yeah, but you don't want it happening every week.
Yeah, exactly.
But once. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
355-NFL-1.
What'd you do to Leopold on Monday night?
Do you have that taped?
Leopold wanted. Leopold thought that it was. I think he believed that Mike Sims-Walker should have not been deactivated. Was that what it was?
Yes.
Yes, that's what it was. And he gave a long diatribe, which that's what a diatribe is. It's long. As to why he should not have been deactivated. I listened for a while, and I said, that's all. That's all. Now, I'm going to tell you why you're wrong.
Said it was threefold.
Yeah.
It hurt Dirk Cutter. It hurt Mojo. And it hurt David.
Yeah. And so I let him go for a while, then I just stopped him cold because it was getting long. And then I said, now here's why you're wrong.
And then you threw Dirk under the bus.
No, not Dirk, Leopold. I killed him. I spun the wheels on him. I got on the bus. I drove over him. I stopped on him. And then I stepped on the gas and peeled out all over him.
Okay.
And Leopold was a good sport.
And he's a good sport, and he came back.
Leopold, I give you credit.
Oh, I like Leopold.
Let's grab Craig, who's calling from Sydney. Hello, Craig.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you? Thanks for taking my call tonight.
I love this guy. He sounds like the Geico Gecko. I love this guy.
How's everything over there?
It's real good.
Doing very good. And do you like calling over here and getting insulted by Vic?
No, that's fine. I'll do it every week. Not a problem. Not a problem. Listen, I just wanted to say to all the Jags fans out there, just not to get too far down on the team. We're only 2-3. We're not 0-5 or 0-6. And like Vic said numerous times this year, we know what's happening this year. It's rebuilding. Just hang in there. Everything will get better.
You coming to a game this year?
And I'm trying. That's my second point, actually. I just wanted to put it out to the fans there. Like, get behind our team and get out and support these guys, man. Get out there and get behind them. Like, I support them pretty passionately from here, but you know, it's a bit hard. But
You get here. We'll hook you up. The full Monty. Right?
Yeah. Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, we'll put him in the booth. Oh, okay. We'll let him sit next to you during a quarter while you're blogging. Mm-hmm. Go to the sideline in the pregame.
Yeah, can you bring 20,000 people with you?
Man, I'll try. I'm trying to round up as many as I can. But, like, man, everyone there, get out to the game. Show the team that you care, man. Get behind them and, you know, just really, really push them along. They're young and they just really need the encouragement, you know?
Ever been to a true rugby match?
No, I just don't. I'm listening to Craig, and I'm just so happy I don't have an accent.
My sister-in-law used to live in Manly over there in Sydney, and I will tell you, we went over and visited. We went to some rugby matches over there, and they're neighborhood by neighborhood. You want to talk about passion?
They kick each other in the head.
Oh. They can go toe-to-toe with the best NFL fans.
You guys have got the best football product in the world, and if I had access to that every week, you'd never see me away from that.
Now, let me ask you a question, Craig. What time is it in Sydney when, 1 o'clock kickoff, East Coast time here in the United States is?
It's 4 a.m. in the morning.
Okay. Is NFL games pretty much widely available in Australia?
No, they're not. But where there's a will, there's a way.
So how do you get them?
Like I said, where there's a will, there's a way. The internet's a wonderful thing.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, man, I'm up every Sunday morning at 4 o'clock.
How did you become a Jaguars fan?
To be honest with you, it was really through Madden NFL games on the PlayStation, actually. And I just started to pick a team, and just started to follow. I've only followed for a couple of years, but I've got the jersey, I've got all the stuff, I've got bumper stickers on the car and everything like that. So I'm pretty passionate, but just hard to do it from this far away.
That's wild. I mean, that's a great story.
It is.
No, man, it's just. No, I love the team, and like I said, mate, we'll get there. We just got to hang in and get out there and support these guys, man.
All right, now in Australia, how big is American football in Australia?
Very small.
Very small.
Very small. I've got about a dozen fans that I keep in contact with that actually got in contact through the message board on jaguars.com, and we keep in contact. You know, they're spread around Sydney and in a couple of other states, but. Yeah, it's. But mate, feel free. If you want to bring a game down here, I'll definitely be there.
Now, in Australia, with being one of a few fans, I guess, of the NFL, what is Australia's team in the NFL? The more popular NFL team in Australia, for those that follow.
Well, to be honest, the only contact I have with the fans down here are Jaguars fans, so I'd have to say that.
We are the team of Australia. We're moving there.
Yeah. Come. Bring everybody.
Well, you're in Seattle, then that would make Seattle then one of the short trips.
I went and spent a couple of weeks down there, and the team that I saw represented the most the summer that I was there, the Green Bay Packers, because of Brett Favre.
Okay.
So he was still playing big then.
No, man, I'll get out there with the tool. I wear the tool out there every day. So,
well, the offer stands. Any year, any time you get to Jacksonville for a game, we'll set you up.
Excellent. Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Done deal. Thanks, Craig. Calling from Sydney, Australia, as you can tell.
That's pretty wild.
And that'll do it. It's been a wild night.
Yes, it has.
And we'll just leave it at that. Have a great night, everybody.
This has been Jaguars This Week, presented by Aetna, on your flagship station for Jaguars football, AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV. Depend on it.